afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms becoming likely tomorrow night and into Friday. And I can't rule out a few stronger storms. We'll keep an eye on that. Friday's high around 80. And then some pretty nice weather returning over the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Can you imagine a checking account which saves you money, even earns you money? At Prime South Bank, you'll find just that. A checking account with no monthly fees, which earns interest on larger deposits and can automatically put money into your savings account. Now that's an account worth switching for. Prime South Bank, with locations in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Carver High School went on lockdown Tuesday after a shooting close to the campus. Montgomery police say that shooting happened in the 3200 block of Sewanee Drive. The victim is expected to be okay. No arrests have been made. New video shows a school resource officer tasing a student at Bullitt County High School, and many parents are now concerned. The Union Springs Police Department released a statement saying that the student allegedly assaulted the officer. This incident is now under investigation. And the owner of the historic Hotel Tallahassee has appealed last month's vote by the city council to condemn the building. Mayor Johnny Hammack says there will be a public meeting on May 14th for residents to voice their opinions. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Are you in the market to purchase a new vehicle? Or maybe you've been dreaming of putting a pool in the backyard just in time for summer. Well, I've got the answer for you. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Why get an auto loan or a pool loan when you could get the cash you need in hand by refinancing your mortgage? Cashing in on the equity in your home will provide you with the money you're looking for at a much lower rate and a much lower payment. By simply refinancing your mortgage, you can purchase your dream truck or swim laps in your very own pool. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Alabama Home Mortgage can make it happen. It's time to live the life you've been dreaming of. Call me, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. Again, that's 567-4223. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com. Because, folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
ISIS claimed responsibility for the Easter bombings in Sri Lanka.
Newly released body cam video is providing more clarity. In this police-involved shooting, the driver opens the door. Within seconds, his hands go up and the officers open fire.
Vice President Joe Biden will officially enter the presidential race on Thursday.
The acting head of Homeland Security tells 60 Minutes the Trump administration's family separation policy is not coming back.
Two of the nation's largest drugstore chains, Walgreens and Rite Aid, say they have plans to raise the minimum age to buy cigarettes and other tobacco products from 18 to 21.
One of the nation's largest distributors of opioids became the first to face federal criminal charges in the opioid crisis.
James Holzhauer, he just keeps winning on Jeopardy, and he's done it again.
118,816, and now a 14-day total of 1,061,554.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. Let me bring in the mayor's executive officer who found out some things for you guys that y'all asked about. Matthew, take it away, my friend.
All right, at the intersection of Mobile Highway, Air Base, and Fairview.
Right.
Where he asked, okay, what they've got is a camera system set up.
There is a camera system.
There's a camera system. What it does is there's a maximum and a minimum number of green lights that can go each, you know, through a series.
Right.
If one lane, if, say, Fairview is steadily going, it's got a number of cars it can let through before it would have to cycle. If nobody is coming, it automatically trips and goes to the next one. So it would go to the next lot, the next lane
sequence.
Sequence. it should be less than a minute, minute and a half at best. If the sensor is out, then it won't trip it, and that makes it recycle and go back the other
direction. So somebody's checking the sensor, or is that state?
Yeah, no. Our guys from Traffic and Engineering will check the sensor.
Okay, and what was the other one? Was there another issue that you resolved? Is that the only one?
The one on Allendale Place.
Right.
They're looking into it. It was not part of the plan from the waterworks for the paving. When they put the system in. But as of right now, it's not on, but they're looking into it.
Bert got a twofer on that one.
Well, let me also say that we have got this artificial intelligence now. The part of the smart city is robotics, that we ride all of the streets in Montgomery, and we get a ranking of 1 to 5, 5 being meanings most paved. We have a game plan to pave everything that's 3.5 and above over the next 2-year period of time.
Wow.
So if it's not on the list, then that means that it didn't get a 3.5 or above. So it's in the outer years.
Todd, thanks. I hope I didn't make you late for your appointment. Thank you so much, Matthew. News on 93.1 FM. A couple of reminders here. First-time callers can get in by telling Joey that's your first-time caller and giving us your month and day of birth. We'll put your name in for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. Then any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. I'll be there Saturday for the Spring Fest that they're going to be doing. They're going to have all sorts of things for the kids and farm equipment, bands, great food. Come on down. I'm going to be doing the cook-off. I'm a taster. Oh, yeah. Also, at Fresh Market, they have the grass-fed ribeye on sale, 25% off. That makes it $11.99 a pound. And then the New York strip prime is $12.99 a pound. And as Joey will attest, that is a heck of a deal.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good.
Great,
it's so good for
meat.
You.
Yeah.
Let's do this. ISIS militias are still masters of the guerrilla warfare. And this is an important issue. Everybody goes, ISIS is done. Well, the caliphate is done. And getting them out of Syria doesn't mean that they've gone away.
The FBI now on the ground in Sri Lanka, helping track down the terrorists behind those Easter Sunday attacks that killed 359 people. ISIS, of course, has taken responsibility for the attack despite their caliphate being annihilated. Our next guest actually fought terrorism himself. He was a member of Israel's Special Operations Counterterror Unit. He joins me now. He's founder of Cherries, a leading manufacturer today of law enforcement products for terror readiness. Aaron Cohn from Los Angeles. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ann.
What is your reaction, first of all, big picture here, about what this means for ISIS and for us all around the world in fighting them?
Well, it means that ISIS is deploying the type of terror attacks that terrorists have been doing since the 70s, which is that they work through a series of osmosis. They're masters in guerrilla warfare. People shouldn't take this lightly as far as what that means. Guerrilla warfare is essentially when they get hit and they've been conquered militarily on battlefields where they've taken pieces of land, like we saw in Syria and Iraq, before we went in there and essentially demolished them and diminished them completely. They then disperse. They go to the dark net. They go into chat rooms and they go back into their mosques where they preach hatred for their next wave of recruits. And then they use the internet and the dark web to essentially build, plot, plan, and execute a wave of what we then call nomad or solo terror attacks, which are equally as dangerous. We saw these tactics with the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. We saw these tactics with Hamas against Israel for years. We saw this with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon when the Marine barracks were attacked by that terror group. And so this dispersion allows them to regroup, but what it does is it allows them to function very much like the CIA would, very much like our intelligence unit would. And so it's very dangerous, and you've got to keep pressure on them.
So that's kind of like the Sri Lanka thing, is that we moved them out of Syria, but have they then moved over to somewhere else? And so don't think this is going to go away. I think it was a PR mistake for Donald Trump to kind of go, ISIS is done, ISIS is finished, because ISIS is not done, and ISIS is clearly not finished. They're just going to morph into these dark spots. This is the second part of this.
Yeah, keep pressure on them. I'm reminded of the last administration here in America. President Barack Obama talked about ISIS being the JV squad, and yet here we are years later talking about how they can still take deadly action. What do you make as well with that context, the fact that Sri Lankan officials were told, were warned that something may be coming, and it appears they didn't really do very much at all to stop it?
Well, I feel like Barack Obama doesn't have any position to really be speaking intellectually on terrorism, both based on lack of any type of military training, never mind the fact that he's never been in a forward area or served in a counterterror capacity, so he's way beyond his level of expertise. But what I will say is that unlike JV or junior varsity sports teams, terror organizations are extremely well-funded by countries such as Iran, who continue to not only pay terrorists to carry out acts of terrorism, but fund their families in case they're lost in those acts of terrorism because they're looked at as heroes. And the fact that Sri Lanka was able to be attacked by a terror group, which essentially had no name at first before ISIS connected to Thorns, the fact is that this terror organization is connected to ISIS as a smaller proxy organization, and or a puppet organization for ISIS. And the fact is that ISIS is able to connect these threads to wannabe nomad terror groups who are much smaller, but they all become part of the same essential macro terror group, ISIS. And so they're extremely dangerous, they're extremely well-funded, and they're capable of operating in the vanguard, which no means doubt. The pressure must stay on.
This guy's pretty good. I like the way he presents this, and he's, I think he really has it down on this thing. Stock market and everything is really doing well, but you wouldn't know about watching the national news. And we need to get, there were a couple of other pieces we left yesterday I didn't get to. I want to swing back over here. Let's listen to Stuart Varney talking about the economic growth and the Trump agenda and how it is wildly successful.
Big day on Wall Street as the S&P 500, NASDAQ closed at record highs after months-long recovery.
So, can we expect the numbers to continue to climb?
Stuart, I read this morning that the expectations of earnings had been dialed back, but now all the companies, it seems, the majority of them, are exceeding expectations.
Yes, we're in earnings season. That's the time when the big corporations tell us, how much money did you make? That's what they're telling us right now. The expectation was that profits would go down. Instead, we've got profits going up very nicely. I challenge you, go and look at your 401k, look at your IRA. I'll guarantee you will smile, because since President Trump was elected in November of 2016, the value of all stocks has gone up by $9.4 trillion. Middle America's got a piece of that. Your 401k, your pension plan, you got a piece of that. And it's gone up like that because of the Trump growth agenda. It has been wildly successful. The economy is expanding, the market's at record highs, and I know your question was, will it continue? And my answer is, yes, it will continue if profits continue to both go to record level.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to James. James, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, Dan. Pam has been waiting for Sweet Creek to go public, but since it hasn't yet, you mentioned something she'd looked up previously, something called Albies, and I was wondering if that's the same one that you mentioned was an impressive company that you had.
OLLI is the stock code on it.
OLLI
is the stock code on it. It's an interesting company. But read about it first. Don't just buy it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not making a recommendation.
She does all that research. But, you mentioned about the Muslims. So it's getting kind of disgusting. I was worried that Trump called a premature victory because those rascals are the reason that we got our Navy and our Marines and everything because, you know, way back Thomas Jefferson, had to fight them because they were destroying our trade routes and our enterprise and trading way back in early 1800s. And, they just have been vicious for 220 or more years, and they don't give up. You know, they will not give up. They're 24/7. And so I think he should be vigilant, and I'm sure he is, but that's a vicious enemy, and Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it. News 93.1 FM, Dan Mars Show on a Wednesday, 272-9228. I'd be remiss if I did not tell you that this hour brought to you by Brubaker Motors on the Eastern Bypass in Prattville location. They are selling trucks, boys and girls. You want a great price on a truck? Now is the time to go to Brubaker. The Ram is off the charts on awards for just... People love it. It wins all sorts of awards. So go by and see that. But they also have the Kia product, the Chrysler, the Jeep, which is also tearing it up in the award business. So go by and see Dick Brubaker, Don Rickard, and tell them you're a Dan Mars Show listener. Let me do this. Let me go to an early break and then pick back up with Stuart Varney.
The Dan Mars Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Mars Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. It can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Dog is man's best friend. And while you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Best Friends Pet Resort are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Best Friends Pet Resort. We're here when you can't be. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting and Best Friends Pet Resort.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV, News Talk 93.1.
This is where we are.
Have hearts of stone.
Let's continue on with Stuart Varney talking about growth, growth, and growth.
Twitter released its quarterly earnings, how much money they've made in the last quarter, and that's why it went up yesterday. Today, you've got Facebook, Microsoft, Tesla, and Boeing releasing. What can we expect?
The big ones are Microsoft and Facebook. Giant technology companies will get their results at 4 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. Both stocks, Microsoft especially, and I can declare my interest, I've got some Microsoft stock, they've been going up rapidly in advance of the official numbers. That suggests a very strong report. We'll see at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
There's a report suggesting the president's tax cuts help some states and their revenues rebound. That's the opposite of what Democrats predicted.
Well, that is accurate. I believe 41 states are now bringing in more money than they did, I think, 10 years ago before the crash. So you're back to where you were before the crash. That is entirely the result of President Trump's growth agenda. The economy is growing. Maybe a bit more than that, 3%. The stock market record highs. In comes the money to state governments. It's a success story. It's the Trump growth agenda success story. Case closed.
Real quick. It's a success story, but you don't hear about it on a lot of the other channels.
Oh, gee, I wonder why. I mean, you're not going to see anything really positive about President Trump, whether it's politics, diplomacy, markets, or economy. You won't see positive stuff in the establishment media. You won't see it.
Now, I have to attest to that because when I'm meeting with a client, one of the things that that I have to deal with is people go, you know, how are things going in the economy versus my account? Or they won't look at their account, they'll wait to our meetings to do that. And they'll go, you know, you never hear about all the great things that are going on here. And I said, yeah, you're right. And I said, things that when you look at all the numbers, you look at unemployment, you look at the employed, the number of people that are employed, the wage increases out there. Here's one for you. The credit score for people has passed, and you have more people now that are at the 715 number than you have below 715. That is a huge thing because that's at the point where you can go buy a car and get really good payments on it. So what it does is it, as you're paying off debt, as you're making more money, your credit score is going up, and you're spending more money, you know, earnings are coming out today for Facebook and some other companies, and that's going to be really interesting to watch. It's going to come out in about 35 minutes. But, you know, how are you guys feeling about it? When I talk to folks, particularly business-type people, business owners, they say things are just doing great. I haven't seen it like this in a long, long time. I would have to go back into the 80s, late 80s, to kind of find a match for this. And stock market is up. All the numbers are there, but ABC, NBC, and CBS, they do not mention a thing. And it really, really is a shame that that's what's happening here. But we shall see. Joe Biden is going to be announcing, and he's had a lot of kind of missteps here. We talked about this yesterday, Sam. Let's play the first part of this and get into a discussion.
Now to the person trying to replace the president. Potentially the last big name runner is about to enter the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. Sources tell CBS News former Vice President Joe Biden will launch his campaign tomorrow ahead of a fundraiser in Philadelphia. Ed O'Keefe is covering the 2020 campaign.
Biden's first formal campaign event will be Monday in Pittsburgh. From there, we're told he's off to visit the early primary states and plans to put special emphasis on South Carolina, a state where he enjoys strong support from longtime Democratic leaders.
This country can't afford more years of a president looking to settle personal scores. We've got to get moving.
Former Vice President Biden will enter the race for the 2020 Democratic nomination in a place he's never been, on top. The latest polling shows him leading the large field of 2020 Democratic hopefuls with 27%, 7% ahead of Senator Bernie Sanders.
We will take back this country. I mean it. Don't give up.
Biden's PAC sent an email to supporters Tuesday hinting that an announcement is coming soon, though he's been toying with the idea of getting into the race for more than a year.
What's the holdup?
Yeah. What's the holdup? Putting everything together, man.
News Show 93.1 FM. Let me do this. Let me go to a break so I can make this into a conversation. We'll talk about Joe Biden and why some of the numbers are against him that the media is not talking about. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Some people are made of plastic.
You know some people are made of wood.
Some people have hearts of stone. Some people are to do good.
The Dan Morris Show.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
I've missed out at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Something big coming up, Doc.
We sure do. It's April, so that means yard sale on April 27th.
Tell us what we can expect at the yard sale on the 27th.
A lot of furniture we've got to clean out. And so if you're looking for a dining room table or chairs or beds or whatever, this is the place to be on that day. And we've got records, books, the usual stuff.
So when does it start and how long will it go?
6 in the morning until 2, but we're usually here after that and before that. The store opens at 9.
Anything going on in the store?
Yeah, there'll be some bargains going on in the store.
That's the annual spring yard sale at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Give us the date and time, Stott.
April 27th, 6 until 2. And rain or shine. It's rained the last 2 times, so think some good thoughts so it doesn't rain.
And your regular hours of operation?
Monday through Friday, 10 until 6, Saturday 9 to 6, and Sunday 12:30 to 4:30.
Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. The battle lines are drawn as President Trump says his administration will ignore any subpoenas from congressional Democrats.
They want to know every deal I've ever done.
Democrats say they have a right to investigate the president after the special counsel's report showed what they consider misconduct in his administration. The FBI is assisting Sunnyvale, California law enforcement officials in the investigation of a driver who appeared to deliberately plow into a group of people last night, injuring 8. A 13-year-old girl among those hurt, the driver is in custody. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif warning the U.S. against interfering with his country's oil exports.
We believe that Iran will continue to sell its oil. We will continue to find buyers for our oil.
Earlier this week, the Trump administration warned countries buying oil from Iran they would face U.S. sanctions. This is Fox News.
Yeah.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We're going to enjoy another warm, quiet day before this next storm system begins to affect our forecast. For today, with a high temperature in the middle 80s, it'll be partly to mostly sunny. So we're dry today and we're dry tonight. Partly cloudy to cloudy at times. Mild, overnight low temperature around 60. Then tomorrow, I think we're at least in the low 80s. Maybe some widely scattered showers possible tomorrow afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms becoming likely tomorrow night and into Friday. And I can't rule out a few stronger storms. We'll keep an eye on that. Friday's high around 80. And then some pretty nice weather returning over the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASC Credit Union. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASC. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASC Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
That's where we are. Reminder, Sweet Creek Farm Market, you can get in for the drawing. The drawing will be Friday. I will be down there Saturday, and I hope to see you down there. And the New York Prime Strip Steaks are on sale at $12.99 a pound. I'm going to call my brother and tell him that because he knows those are really good. I'll be doing that on Saturday for dinner. And then brunch at Vinegar on Sunday. Right now is what the plan is. Friday, maybe oysters and beer. Sounds like a good life, doesn't it?
That does, actually.
Okay, let's go back Joe Biden launching his campaign. And you're going to get some polling information, but we're going to talk about why some things may not be quite the way they seem.
Admitting back in February, his family was on board while he wasn't there yet.
They, the most important people in my life, want me to run.
Since then, at least 8 women have alleged that Biden made them feel uncomfortable in the past, actions for which he later partially apologized.
I'm sorry I didn't understand more. I'm not sorry for any of my intentions.
Biden has made a run for president twice before. I sat down with him in late 2007.
Once I'm covered, I'm convinced. Me matched against Obama, me matched against Hillary, me matched against anyone else. I will do just fine.
Joe Biden!
But Biden ended up placing 5th in the Iowa caucus. He dropped out, but later became Barack Obama's vice president. He chose not to run in 2016 after the death of his son, Beau, the year before.
I regret it every day, but it was the right decision for my family and for me.
At 76, Biden will be the second oldest candidate in what's already a crowded field. And while he's popular with working class voters, it's unclear if he'll enjoy similar support from an increasingly younger, more liberal Democratic Party, less familiar with his more than 4 decades of public service.
Okay, so let's talk about the calendar, the Democrat calendar, and the way this is going to roll out and how they divide up their delegates. The first state that you have is the Iowa caucus, and that is in February the 3rd. It's a closed primary, and this is where you have to show up at caucus locations, and you caucus as a group. And then that decides the delegate process. Now, that may help Joe Biden. There you have, you're basically dividing up 4 congressional districts and 2 at-large positions, and then they divide those up among how the caucus-goers do it. And then you have the superdelegates, but the superdelegates do not come into play unless the first ballot fails, which the first ballot could fail. And so then, and it's based on elected officials within that state that are Democrat office holders. Then on Tuesday, February the 11th, a mere 8 days later, you have New Hampshire. And Bernie Sanders, for every poll I've seen in New Hampshire, will win New Hampshire. Again, you have two congressional districts and then two at-large for the U.S. Senate.
Okay.
And then you have the superdelegates for elected officials, governor, you know, senators, members of Congress.
Those don't come into play again if
you get out of the first ballot. So Bernie Sanders could win that. And so Joe Biden right now isn't doing too well. He may pick up something in Iowa. But remember, Iowa has two major universities in two separate congressional districts, Iowa City and Ames, Iowa, for Iowa State and Iowa University. Big voting populations of millennials, and Bernie did very well in those areas.
Well,
and most of those students are state citizens, by the way.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see an early path for Biden, and then if California's an early state, I think it's still...
California is an early state.
It's still in Bernie's favor, if not Kamala Harris. So I don't know where Biden thinks he's going to get his path. And
so imagine you could actually go through, and so the next one after the February 11th New Hampshire is Nevada, February the 22nd. I'm not sure. Now, he is a big union guy.
Yeah.
And unions are really big in Nevada. And he may pull out something in Nevada, but Bernie was fairly competitive in Nevada, just for the sake of being competitive. Then you have South Carolina on February the 29th. You would think that Biden would be able to do well in South Carolina, but this isn't a general election. This is a primary. And you have a large African-American vote, so I would think that Kamala Harris and Cory Booker would do well with that.
Right.
You have a whole bunch of universities that are there, everything from the little Elon College to Converse to the big Clemson's, University of South Carolina, Charleston College. South Carolina's got more colleges you can shake a stick at.
I mean, I'm imagining, because they did, going back to this, they changed the superdelegate rule. So the superdelegates don't get counted in the first ballot at a Democratic convention. But say there is no clear winner after that first round, then the superdelegates do come into play. I think the Democrats would have a nightmare on their hands, though. So say there's no clear winner in the first round at the Democratic convention, but Bernie still is holding a strong plurality of votes, say 30%. Or even 40% of the votes.
Let's say 30%. Divided up so much.
Yeah. What do the superdelegates do?
Yeah, and so do they go for their person like Kamala Harris, or do they go for Joe Biden, or what do they do? Because that could be the swing here. So now we get to Super Tuesday, March 3rd. So we could have gone through an entire month, and Joe Biden really could maybe not have a W by his name at all. He may have won a congressional district, but not win a state. So we get to Super Tuesday. Alabama, Arkansas are in there. California got moved up to Super Tuesday because of Kamala Harris. But remember, Bernie got 46% of the vote in California. And you have the congressional districts, 45 of them, plus your two at-large. And that could be problematic for Joe. So where does Joe win? Does he win in Orange County, which is traditionally more conservative, where you picked up all those congressional seats, flipped them from red to blue, and you pick up some of those, but there are only 11 in that package, and there are 45 total. And you get up to San Francisco and Oakland, which is the Kamala Harris area, and you, as you know, you got a ton of universities, Berkeley, USC, UCLA, schools come out of the yin-yang. That's why Bernie did so well here. So he may could come in here and come in second, which I don't think he can, in California. But what if he comes in third in California? Then you have Massachusetts. That should be Bernie, and that should be Elizabeth Warren. I would think she's going to stick around until March the 3rd. You have North Carolina, which I think he could do well there. You have Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas. Is Beto going to be still there?
Right.
By March the 3rd?
And I'm sitting here thinking about Joe Biden. He was never, other than Senate campaigns, he was never successful on his own in a presidential race.
Part of it is the calendar.
Absolutely. And he just doesn't do well when he ran on his own. He never has done well. He gets picked out of that whole crowd by Barack Obama. And I wonder if somebody's told Joe, maybe you're polling so good and because your name ID is so good and people like the idea of Joe Biden, and they like, I mean, as vice president, it wasn't like he was a Dick Cheney or anything. He wasn't a strong vice president by any means in terms of actually governing. I think once people actually get reminded who Joe Biden is, especially the Democratic voters, I don't understand why you would even run at this point.
Well, and here's the main story behind what I'm trying to do here is that when you're seeing 27%, you're seeing 27% across the nation.
Yes.
And the calendar for the Democrats is not across the nation, and this is not a good number for Joe. I don't see where he gets 27% of the vote, the most votes out of any state that I've mentioned so far, until you get to the March 3rd, and he's going to be so far. I mean, the big question will be, is Elizabeth still in it? Because I think Elizabeth and Bernie could split Massachusetts. Is Beto in it? Because I think he could do fairly well in Texas, but he's faded so badly, I'm not even sure he can pull that off. But then you have Vermont, so you know Bernie's going to win that. You have Utah, he could maybe do well in that. Minnesota with Gorbachev still in there, I mean, is she going to be in there by then? So I'm saying this calendar just doesn't work for him.
Well, and we just have to remember, too.
So he could be number three out of a 20-person race by the time you get down to March the 7th, and you've been in the game for over a month.
It's been a lot of money doing it, and we have to remember that it is, to your point, that there's a lot of momentum built up in these primaries. So say, like, there's a shocker in Iowa, and, like, Buttigieg gets the votes.
Right. I mean, that'll screw him up.
That'll screw up a lot of different people's plan, and that'll give Buttigieg a great, better chance, at least in places like New Hampshire and California.
Right.
Where depending on the favorite son or daughter.
See, I think Buttigieg is the guy who could maybe knock Joe Biden out because he's all of a sudden they go, he's too old, he's too white, he's too heterosexual.
Yeah.
And so Buttigieg kind of he really does hit some kind of buttons that are out there.
Well, and you don't like it when the common folks are calling you a hair sniffer. You know, it's just
just didn't work for you, huh?
Yeah. And again, what has Joe Biden ever done that's really earned his own keep in the national spotlight? The only reason he's where he's at is because Barack Obama made him VP. And he's a gaffe machine as VP.
Absolutely. He's going to be. And that's the other thing. From the point that he announces, I'm going to put a clock on him to say, how long is it going to be till he has his first gaffe?
Right.
That's going to be a type thing. You know, like, he's just going to totally screw it up. But in some areas that he does need to look forward to is Tuesday, March the 17th, is Florida, for example. And then you have Arizona and Illinois on that same date. But, you know, is Gabby, whatever her name is she going to stick around to April the 4th for Hawaii?
Oh, Tulsi Gabbard?
Tulsi Gabbard. And then you have Wisconsin, which I think that Biden could do well on April the 7th, but then you turn around and you have Connecticut, but then you also have Delaware. Of course, we'll do well in Delaware, but how is he going to do in Connecticut? Is that going to be more of a Bernie Sanders thing? Maryland, you have Pennsylvania, I think, and do well there. But what I'm saying is that when you add up all these states, you could be down to April the 28th, and Joe Biden could be number three out of a list of people that are there. Number three.
Well, and I'm starting to play this out in my head. The only thing that seems to have united the Democrats these last 2 years since Hillary lost is their disdain for Trump and this whole Russian narrative. So then if you try to go to a positive platform, which Bernie and Buttigieg have pointed out, we have to be more than just against Trump. We need a positive program. I don't know exactly what they're united around. And then if, say, it is Bernie, he seems like the clear front runner to me. I think already, like in that CNN town hall at the beginning of the week, he's saying stuff that will kill him in the general election.
Yeah.
Whether it's people in prison voting or, I mean, this idea of, do you really think I believe in authoritarian communism? Well, Bernie, we have tapes of you in the 80s talking about how great it is over there.
Have you seen the picture of him without a shirt on when he was in Moscow?
Right.
With the guys drinking and playing cards and stuff?
And if you're thinking of political ads, just show Bernie in Moscow on Red Square. Like, oh my goodness.
And see, Joe will do that. Kamala Harris will do that. Kamala Harris can be vicious. And I think Cory Booker will do it.
And he's also talked greatly about all the socialist movements in South America, whether it's Venezuela or other places. I mean, I think this guy, he's got a solid 20-something, I think 30% of people in the Democratic base behind him. But beyond that, I heard, actually, of all people, 84, Southern Woods said this last night. He's kind of like the Roy Moore of the left. He's got a really strong following, like Roy does here in Alabama, but that's a ceiling in many ways.
Yeah, it's a ceiling to it, absolutely.
And it works great in his home state, like Vermont. It works great there. But
well, and the other thing that happens is the likability factor. The millennials, young people, really like Bernie. Bernie, they burn, you know, the burn. They like that. I suppose, yeah. Joe is a very likable guy, but I'm not sure if that persona is going to help him out considering this, the order of states. And then Bernie's got some great college connections, and I think Buttigieg is going to be a surprise to some people that are out there. The losers out of this are going to be Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, and Cory Booker. I think they're going to, and Kirsten Gillibrand, which I'm not even sure why she's even thinking about.
She's going for a VP
slot. She's 2%.
Like, I don't understand why she's.
I mean, where, out of all the states that I mentioned, where is she going to scratch in there?
And then you have the really silly season, like Swalwell and Moulton of Massachusetts.
Oh, it's going to be embarrassing for them.
I don't understand. I guess they're trying to get their name ID up. You get a little bit of television time on the debate stage, even if it's the JV debate. Talk about it. 20 candidates. If Biden announces tomorrow, that's 20 people announced.
And that was, you just said something that's going to be a really important part. That's going to be the debates. Because if you put 10 and 10, 10 people doing 3 minutes of questions is, you know, you're using up 30 minutes plus some commercials that are in there. And I think they're going to kind of figure out, I'm going to say the things that are going to get the applause, but then I'm going to take something out of Trump's playbook, and I'm going to start screwing with some people. And who are they going to screw with? Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden is going to be the guy they're going to call Bernie Sanders, a socialist. They're going to hit Joe Biden. And that's going to be Kamala Harris. That's going to be Gorbachev. That's going to be everybody other than the top three. And I think Buttigieg is going to lay back in the tall grass. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show, it's going to be fascinating. I am having so much fun. I'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Okay, quick show of hands. Who out there is renting? If you raised your hand, I'm talking to you. Why rent when you could buy? I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and I'm here to set the record straight. This is not your parents' mortgage. Times have changed. You're no longer required to have a 20% down payment. The USDA and VA loan programs offer 100% financing. That's no money down. But hey, if you are not a veteran, or you are not looking to purchase in a USDA-eligible area, never fear. Here at Alabama Home Mortgage, you can purchase a home with as little as 3% down. For example, that $150,000 home you've been eyeing online could be yours with only $4,500 down. Don't sign that lease before calling 567-4223. Get pre-approved today. Call 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama home mortgage. NMLS 1586-368. Equal housing lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
.279-228, that's where we are. There was a story that I had last Monday, but we didn't get to it. Talking about climate change in the Rio Grande. And I want you to listen to this, and hopefully we'll be able to get through the whole thing because of several cuts. But basically they're saying the Rio Grande is going to dry up. So listen to this.
Look at aerial footage of the massive Greenland ice sheet provided by NASA. It's part of a decade-long effort to track the potentially dangerous ice melt. Data released in March shows that melting has left a hole the size of Texas. I'm from Texas. That's big. That's in the Greenland sheet. That's critical because Greenland and Antarctica together contain 99% of the world's freshwater ice. Now, in just a few minutes, we'll show you why that could pose a worldwide danger.
But first, our Earth Matters coverage turns to the fragile Rio Grande, one of the country's longest and most iconic rivers. For nearly 2,000 miles, the river winds its way from the Rockies down to the Gulf of Mexico. More than 6 million people in three states rely on it for drinking water and irrigation. But climate change is threatening that vital flow. We sent Michelle Miller on a 300-mile journey along the Rio Grande. She joins us now from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. By this time of year, water should be flowing apart along this part of the Rio Grande. In fact, exactly where I am standing now, but farmers who rely on it are going to have to wait at least another month. It's a side effect of a drought that has cycled on for the last 17 years, and scientists are predicting it will be even hotter and drier in the future. That means folks who rely on this river will have to adapt to what could be their new normal.
Okay, so they're basically saying ice caps are melting, world's coming to an end, Rio Grande is drying up. Now, before we get to this next clip, I want you to remember something. Do you remember all the flooding that happened from the Mississippi because of all the snow that was in Minnesota? They had so much snow in Minnesota, it was flooding everything going down the Mississippi. Mississippi originates in Minnesota. So let's go to the second part of this, and then we'll discuss.
For more than 130 years, this river gauge in northern New Mexico has tracked the pulse of the Rio Grande.
It's the oldest continuously operated gauge in the United States operated by the U.S. Geological Survey.
When we visited, the Rio Grande was beating along.
On the bottom, we have a trapdoor that goes into the stilling well.
But Mark Gunn, a hydrologist with the USGS, told us last July its flow nearly flatlined.
Since 1889, last year was the lowest discharge in the history of this gauge.
How low did it get?
It was so low that we actually had to dig out this whole entire area and dig a channel into the river to be able to get water to go to the gauge.
So it basically made your machine here malfunction.
Yes, it did.
The Colorado snowpack that melts into the Rio Grande is declining 25% in the last 50 years. And climatology professor David Gutzler says climate change is threatening to dry it up.
I foresee dry spells getting drier, droughts getting more intense, and water resources being put under more pressure.
With that in mind, cities downstream have been preparing. Albuquerque's Water Authority has spent $6 million incentivizing desert-friendly landscaping.
What other things do we use water for?
The city even sends every fourth grade class to the river for a lesson in water conservation.
Because there can be no life without water.
That's right.
Okay, so remember I told you, record snow in Minnesota. I mean, record snow. Flooding all down the Mississippi. We saw all the pictures of it, the cows stranded up on the, in the water and all that kind of stuff. But the Colorado didn't get snow. So what happened is the snow went to Minnesota. That's what happens to weather. Notice he said he was using the number of 1 year. There's 1 year, so the lowest he's, that last year was the lowest he's ever seen it. And this is what's wrong with this climate change argument. They take selective information and they try to create a causation to it. And how can you have global warming that's affecting Colorado, but it's not affecting Minnesota? Totally impossible. Totally impossible. But they will not do a little critical thinking and kind of figure that out. No, no, no. What they're doing is they're trying to push something here. So let's continue on with this.
We followed the Rio Grande 150 miles south to where it pools into the Elephant Butte Reservoir, New Mexico's largest. The shrinking reservoir can be seen from space, but up close, you can see the bathtub ring left by higher water levels 25 years ago.
We're sort of a microcosm of a lot of river systems in the world.
So you're saying that the Rio Grande is the canary in the coal mine?
Sure. Think of it that way. As things warm up, for a given level of precipitation, you get less water into your river and into your reservoirs.
That means less of it can be released to the 90,000 acres of farmland on the other side of this dam.
It is now April, and we have not released any water from storage. We should have been running for a month and a half by now.
A month and a half?
Yeah.
Until water is released in June, parts of the Rio Grande will look like this, dusty and dry, like the desert around it. And the canals that deliver water to farms like Dixie Ranch will remain empty.
So what happens upstream directly correlates with what you see here?
Absolutely. Lots of snow. We'll have years of lots of water.
Okay, so they have lots of snow in Minnesota, but not lots of snow in Colorado. And again, it defies logic to say that climate change is affecting everything when you see one area doesn't have snow and another area does have snow. Folks, weather is different in different areas, and it's cyclical. This is such a baseless argument. And then the other thing is, how much water are they taking out that's coming downstream? The thing that they showed you was where it said it's dry like the desert, basically is a very low area of where water was. It couldn't have been more than, say, 3 or 4 feet. You have that in Alabama. You'll have places that you had flowing water, but then during certain times, you don't have anything that's there.
There's a reporter I follow that I enjoy. He writes for Reason.com, the libertarian website, named Ronald Bailey. And he is he's more than willing to admit, you know, the basic logic of climate change is plausible. The climates do change, and there might be an issue with so-called greenhouse gases. But what he quibbles with, climatologists, as well as he especially quibbles with the political aspect of this, is they're not very clear on the feedback effects of when you emit more CO2 in the atmosphere. How would it affect the planet in, you know, ways? And what he really takes it on is this catastrophic mentality. He says that some places, you know, for instance, there have been globally more natural disaster type storms, but also because of technology funded, yeah, by things like fossil fuels and dense forms of energy, yes, less deaths, also less effects on GDP and the economy. And it won't be sort of an equal change, even if there is a change across the country, let alone the globe. So I think it's more using a scalpel and using technology and human ingenuity on particular places you live to solve the problem rather than a sort of global central plan.
Well, and they do this all the time. They'll say, here's something bad is happening here. Why is the bad thing happening? Climate change.
Right.
So if something bad is happening there, is it happening everywhere?
Right.
And if the answer is no, scientifically, when you're using a control, You do a control to see, is it happening to both items? And if it's not, then it's faulty science. Let's try to fit this last one in.
Greg Davier has prepared his 310 acres of pecan trees for either scenario. He's added more groundwater wells for irrigation during drought.
So this is a volumetric soil moisture probe.
And brought technology to the century-old farm to ensure that every drop counts.
So we've developed a computer program for our farm, and when I irrigate the tree, it can then predict when it'll need to be irrigated again.
Davier doesn't deny the climate is changing. He's just not ready to panic.
Droughts come and go.
You don't sound worried.
The worry would be that there's a future that I can't plan for, and I worry that it's coming. I believe that we can plan, that we can adapt, and that we can adjust